If you want to understand what Gaudiya Vaishnava culture is, this is the basic principle. How devotees love to serve one another. How devotees love to exchange gifts of Krishna Katha and help each other in every way, in all levels of their lives. And how they are always so eager and happy to hear and glorify other devotees. To attentively come to hear the glories of Krishna together. This is one of the most important functions in Vaishnava society. When we inspire one another by our attentive oral reception in hearing Krishna Katha, and our great enthusiasm to develop pure spiritual association with the Vaishnavas through the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. One time, Lord Chaitanya decided to test Sanatana Goswami. There is a garden just near the ocean in Jagannath Puri that is dedicated to Lord Shiva. It is called Yameshwar. Sanatana Goswami came to Puri just toward the beginning of the summer. In the months of May and June, Jagannath Puri is very hot. And on the seashore, the sand is as hot as blazing fire. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent a message to Sanatana Goswami, inviting him to come and take lunch prasad with him at the Yameshwar garden. Srila Sanatana Goswami was so grateful and honored that with enthusiasm he began to walk across the sand. The sand was blazing so hot like fire that Srila Sanatana Goswami's feet were burnt and blistered. Yet he was so happy and eager to go see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not even consider it an inconvenience. He arrived at Yameshwar. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking rest. But Govinda gave Sanatana Goswami's Lord Chaitanya's Maha-Maha-Prasad. After graciously taking that prasad of the Lord, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came before Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana offered his prostrated obeisances with great love. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he looked and saw Srila Sanatana Goswami's feet. He asked, "By which way did you come to meet me?" Sanatana Goswami said, "I came by the path of the seashore." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very astonished to hear this, that sand is hot like fire. And look at your feet. They are blistered and burnt. Why did not you come by the way of the Sinhadwaram? By that path it is very cool and shading. Srila Sanatan Goswami, he said, I am sinful. I am so contaminated. I cannot go by that path. Because the servants of Lord Jagannath are always coming in and out of the temple. I am so abominable that if any one of them were to come near me, were to speak of touch me, they would have been contaminated and offended the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Jagannath, when they offer their service. I am not fit. I am sinful, low caste and fallen soul. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, his heart was filled with joy. He said, Sanatan, I am so pleased to hear what you are speaking. Because you have demonstrated the proper etiquette of a devotee. The first principle of Vaishnava etiquette is humility and respect to others. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Srila Sanatan Goswami, through this story, manifested the supreme opulence of humility. Lord Chaitanya explained to Sanatan on one occasion, it is through humility and alone, there is no other way to attract the heart of Krishna. Sanatan Goswami's humility was not just a show. It was so genuine from the core of his very heart that he demonstrated his humility without speaking anything to anyone, even enduring the blazing fire of the sand. Just to respect others. Lord Chaitanya said, the maintenance of Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament that makes a devotee beautiful. Preservation of Vaishnava etiquette is so essential. Because if one does not observe, people will simply criticize. Not only will they criticize that devotee, but they will criticize the guru of that devotee, the mission of that devotee. They will criticize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who that devotee is representing. Thus, how careful we should be to properly observe the etiquette of Vaishnavism. After speaking this, Lord Chaitanya went to embrace Srila Sanatan Goswami. Srila Sanatan Goswami, he said, no, my Lord, please do not touch me. But Sanatan Goswami, although he was trying to somehow or other run away, Lord Chaitanya forcibly embraced him. And the blood and the oozing substances of his sores smeared on the beautiful golden form of Gauranga. Sanatan Goswami's heart would break whenever he would see it. It was actually a daily affair. Every day Lord Chaitanya would come to embrace Sanatan Goswami. Every day he tried to get away, but Lord Chaitanya would squeeze his body in affection and the pus and blood and oozing substances would go on the Lord's body. One day Jagadananda Pandit came to meet Srila Sanatan Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was in distress. He asked Jagadananda Pandit to please give him some good advice. I do not know what I should do. I came to Jagannath Puri with a plan to commit suicide. It was a good plan. Because my body is abominable, it is useless. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoiled my plan. He would not permit me to do it. And every day he comes and embraces me. I have come to Jagannath Puri to make spiritual progress, but I see that just the opposite is happening. Every day the Lord is forcing me to commit this terrible offense by rubbing this foul-smelling, abominable substance of blood all over his body. Jagadananda Pandit replied that Lord Chaitanya has already told you to go to Vrindavan. You have come to Jagannath Puri. You have seen the Lord. Now you should go to Vrindavan. There you will be happy. Srila Sanatana Goswami was very happy with this advice. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived. Sanatana Goswami offered his obeisances. And then Lord Chaitanya came to embrace him. Sanatana said, "No, my lord, please do not touch me. I am abominable." He tried to run away. But who can escape the loving affection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu? Lord Chaitanya forcibly embraced him. And right before the eyes of Sanatana Goswami, the blood smeared upon his body. Sanatana Goswami became so depressed by seeing this. He said, "My Lord, I have spoken with Jagadananda Pandit, and he has given me very good advice that I should go to Vrindavan immediately. Because I came here to attain good fortune, but I am achieving the opposite, misfortune, because of my offenses." Lord Chaitanya became very angry. "Jaga, this impudent, naughty boy, what right does he have to instruct a great learned scholar like you? You are so exalted that I accept you as my Shiksha Guru. You are fit to deliver the whole world. But this impudent, naughty child thinks that he can instruct you? I cannot tolerate." Upon hearing this, Sanatana Goswami exclaimed, "Jagadananda Pandit is the most fortunate person. Because he is enjoying the intimate expressions of your harsh words, which are sweet like nectar. But I am so unfortunate. Instead of treating me like one of your intimate associates chastising me, you are treating me like an outsider praising me. You have given me the taste of the bitter nimba of your praise." When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he became ashamed. He said, no, it is not like that. Honest. Actually, what I'm speaking is true. It is not that you are an outsider. You are one of the most intimate, affectionate of all my devotees. But you have given me good advice. I take instruction from you. You are fit to be guru of the world. I cannot tolerate Jagadananda speaking these things. Please do not think in this way. At that time, Sanatan Goswami began to express the miseries of his heart. How much pain it causes him when Lord Chaitanya embraces him and all the diseased blood comes on his body. Lord Chaitanya said to Sanatan Goswami, please do not think like this, because your body is like nectar to me. Your body is transcendental. You are a devotee. When a devotee sincerely surrenders to the Lord and takes initiation, his body becomes Krishna's property. His body is transcendentally situated. Therefore, it is like nectar. And besides that, Sanatana Goswami, I am in the renounced order of life. And for one who is a sannyasi, he is not supposed to differentiate between what smells good and what smells bad and the dualities of material existence. Krishna sent you here just to test me. If I thought your body was abominable, I would be rejected by Krishna. Let me tell you, my inner feelings, that Haridas Thakur and yourself are like my two own little children. When a mother takes care of her baby child and cleans the stool and urine because of the natural love that the mother has for the child, that stool smells as fragrant as sandalwood oil. Lord Chaitanya said, the first time I embraced you, Sanatan Goswami, I smelled the oozing substances of your body as Chatushama. The Garuda Purana explains one of the most perfect offerings to the deities, Chatushama, which is a mixture of sandalwood oil, musk, and camphor and saffron. This is what I smell. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came again to embrace Sanatan Goswami. No, my Lord, please do not touch me. He tried to get away, but Mahaprabhu embraced him. When he embraced, all the sores of Sanatan Goswami's body disappeared. His body became beautiful and golden. When Haridas Thakur saw this, he was astonished. This is your pastime, my Lord. Similarly, you embraced the leper Vasudeva and made his body beautiful and golden and full of health. You purposely tested Sanatan Goswami. You arranged that water to be polluted. You arranged for his body to be filled with sores. It was by your mercy that he came here to Jagannath Puri and tolerated all of the itchings. You wanted to glorify your devotee. And today you have embraced him and made his body perfect once again. This is your transcendental pastime. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then took leave of Haridas Thakur and Sanatan Goswami, who embraced in ecstatic love, chanting the glories of Lord Chaitanya's mercy and glorifying Krishna's holy name. Sanatan Goswami remained within Puri for approximately 1 year. After the celebration of Dola Yatra, Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatan Goswami to perform his service in Sri Vrindavan Dham along with Srila Rupa Goswami. As Sanatan Goswami was leaving Puri, he begged the permission and for the mercy of all devotees. Then Lord Chaitanya embraced him with great affection. These two great souls cried with the thought of imminent separation for one another. Sanatan Goswami received from Balabhadra Bhattacharya the exact details of how Lord Chaitanya traveled to Vrindavan through the Jharikhanda forest. Sanatan Goswami followed the same path, constantly remembering the pastimes that Lord Chaitanya performed in each and every place. When he would meet the people Lord Chaitanya met, he was in great bliss hearing the wonderful pastimes Lord Chaitanya performed there. When he would see a place that Lord Chaitanya performed his leela, in ecstatic love he would remember the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, Sanatan Goswami arrived in Vrindavan. Sometime later, Rupa Goswami also joined him. He was delayed for some time in Bengal, performing his duties. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains the great contribution of Rupa and Sanatan and later Jiva Goswami. Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan wrote such important books as the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which perfectly describes Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the qualities of a real Vaishnav, and the path of pure devotional service. He wrote the Vaishnav Toshami, also known as the Dashama Tipani, which is his commentary of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains the supreme glories of devotional service and the pastimes of Lord Krishna. He wrote Hari Bhakti Vilas, which describes in great, great detail the proper behavior and culture of Krishna consciousness and the devotees within this movement. Srila Rupa Goswami wrote such great books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjvala Nilamani, Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, Stava Mala, Dana Kali Komudi. Rupa Goswami wrote over 100,000 verses. Srila Jiva Goswami was later sent by Nityananda Prabhu to Vrindavan. Nityananda Prabhu said to Jiva Goswami that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given Vrindavan to you and your uncles. You should go there. Jiva Goswami compiled the Satsandarbhas. Gopal Champu, other great literatures, over 400,000 slokas were composed by Srila Jiva Goswami. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that it is Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, as well as Raghunath Das Goswami who are my gurus. And I am always seeking shelter of their lotus feet. One day, a Brahmin approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asked him to please describe to him the pastimes and teachings of Lord Krishna. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami begins this narration with a very humble verse. He explains how I am infected by the disease of material activities. And I am suffering from boils due to envy. In this condition, falling in an ocean of humility, I take shelter of that great physician, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When this devotee, whose name was Prajumana Mishra, approached Lord Chaitanya and asked him to speak Krishna Katha, Lord Chaitanya said, I do not know Krishna Katha. Whatever I do know, I have heard from Srila Ramananda Rai. He is truly an expert of speaking Krishna Katha. If you really want to hear Krishna Katha, you should immediately go to Srila Ramananda Rai. He could describe all the mellows of pure devotional service. Prajumana Mishra was very excited. He immediately went to the residence of Ramananda Rai, where he was greeted by Ramananda Rai's servant. I have come to meet Srila Ramananda Rai. The servant said, but he is not here at this time. Right now, he has gone into the gardens, into secluded places, with two very beautiful young Devi Dasis. I will tell him that you have come. What Ramananda Rai was doing is he had composed a drama called Jagannath Ballabha Nataka that was to be performed for Lord Jagannath Balaram in Subhadra. And these two beautiful young girls were supposed to be gopis in this drama. Srila Ramananda Rai was preparing them and teaching them to perform for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. He would bathe their bodies. He would personally massage oils on their bodies. He would teach them how to dance, teach them how to smile, teach them facial expressions of ecstatic love, teach them how to dance. He would personally feed them nice, opulent prasad, and then he would send them home. It was getting toward evening when Ramananda Rai had finished his service. And he came to the room, and there he saw Pradyumna Mishra, who offered his obeisances. Ramananda Rai immediately offered obeisances to his guest. He said, "When did you come? No one told me that you had come. I am very sorry. I have committed a great offense by not properly receiving you. Please forgive me." Pradyumna Mishra, he saw it was late, so he just respectfully told Ramananda Rai that he had to go. He left. He took his bath. He took his prasad. The next morning he went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya asked him, "Did you hear Krishna Katha from Ramananda Rai?" Pradyumna Mishra said, "No. All day he was doing these services to these young girls. He was bathing them and massaging them and teaching them dancing." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard this, he began to praise the glories of Ramananda Rai. That Ramananda Rai is so spiritually advanced that he could see and personally touch even the intimate parts of the body of a young woman, and his mind remains like wood or stone. It does not change. The reason is because Ramananda Rai is Vishakha, one of the leaders of the gopis in the spiritual world. And it is the service of Vishakha to prepare other young gopis to dance and to sing and perform wonderful pastimes for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. So Ramananda Rai was not seeing material bodies. He was actually in his original spiritual consciousness performing the pure devotional service of Vishakha Sakhi of the spiritual world. Lord Chaitanya said, "If I even see the wooden form of a woman, if I even hear the name of a woman, my mind becomes changed." But Srila Ramananda Rai is so perfectly transcendentally situated that no one could ever imitate his devotional service. If anyone other than Ramananda Rai in any way tries to imitate these activities, they are condemned and abominable. Lord Chaitanya explained how Srila Ramananda Rai was so perfectly situated in tasting the sweet nectar of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna that he was utterly transcendental to all the lower qualities of this material existence. Then Lord Chaitanya told Pradyumna Mishra, "Immediately go to his assembly hall and hear Harikatha from him." Pradyumna Mishra immediately went. Lord Chaitanya told him, "Tell him that I sent you." Ramananda Rai greeted him and asked, "Oh, my dear sir, how can I serve you?" Pradyumna Rishi said that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed me to come here to hear Krishna Katha from you. Ramananda Rai was so happy. "It is my good fortune that the Lord has given me this service." Then Ramananda Rai took him to a secluded place in a garden. And then Ramananda Rai asked, "What type of Krishna Katha would you like me to speak?" Pradyumna Mishra, he said, "Whatever you spoke to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Vidyanagar. But actually, I am so low and fallen. I do not know what is good for me to hear and what is not good for me to hear. I accept you as my guru. You speak whatever you think is beneficial." Then Srila Ramananda Rai began to explain in great, great love the various transcendental mellows of Krishna consciousness, Krishna Leela, Krishna Bhakti. Pradyumna Mishra and Ramananda Rai were both throughout the entire day floating in the nectar of the ecstatic narrations of Krishna. Then the evening came, and the servant came and said, "The day has ended." Pradyumna Rishi began to thank Ramananda Rai for giving him so much mercy, of so much nectar. Ramananda Rai said, "Please know, it is not me speaking. It is Mahaprabhu speaking through me." Then Pradyumna Mishra went back to meet with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya asked him, "Did you hear Krishna Katha from Srila Ramananda Rai?" "Yes, I heard. I am eternally grateful for your mercy for sending me to him. The depth of his knowledge and devotion is supreme. I floated in the ocean of the nectar of Hari Katha. But do you know what he spoke? He told me that he is like a puppet and you are like the puppet master. That he is like a stringed instrument and you are like the musician. He told me he was very low and ignorant, but that you were speaking through him to liberate the entire world, that this was your pastime." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "This is the natural quality of a great devotee. Even though he is endowed with so much bhakti and so much knowledge, he never takes any credit for himself. He will always give all glories to others. This is the real quality of a Vaishnava." Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through this wonderful pastime, wanted to give a very important lesson to the whole world. First of all, he wanted to glorify the devotional service of Ramananda Rai. Second of all, he wanted to show how he manifested his greatest mercy to the world through people who were of a low social position. Lord Chaitanya wanted to smash and crush the pride of the so-called learned scholars, the caste Brahmins, and the false renunciates. Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya revealed the highest knowledge of the ecstatic mellows of pure devotional service to Ramananda Rai. He was a grihastha. He was not a sannyasi. He was a low caste Shudra by birth. But yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was a sannyasi and a Brahmin, came to hear from him. Pradyumna Mishra was a pure-hearted Brahmin, and he came to hear the lessons of Ramananda Rai. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya taught the philosophy of the highest principles of Krishna consciousness through Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, who were both considered to be outcast and untouchable by the society due to their having served Yavanas and Malechas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach the world very, very clearly that no material consideration should ever be used to calculate a Vaishnava. The quality of a person's devotion is all that is really important. Lord Chaitanya taught, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, that even if one is born in a family of Chandala dog eaters, if that person is sincerely chanting the holy names and living by the principles of Krishna consciousness, he is fit not only to liberate himself, but to be the spiritual master of the whole world. But if a person is born in a Brahmin family and has all the 25 qualities of Brahminical behavior, but is not a devotee and not taking shelter of the holy name, he cannot deliver himself, what to speak of anyone else. Who is a real Vaishnav? Lord Chaitanya has explained, those who with sincere devotion approach Krishna as the Supreme Person, and who are very attached to hearing his glories and chanting his holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare.
One Brahmin from Bengal came to Jagannath Puri. He had written a drama about Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya. And he very much was eager for Lord Chaitanya to hear his drama, which was written in very poetic language. He stayed at the house of Bhagavan Acharya. Bhagavan Acharya was very simple, very pure-hearted. So he really wanted Lord Chaitanya to hear this drama. When he heard it, he liked it so much. And then the other devotees came to hear it, and they praised it. Very good drama, very good. He read the introductory verse, and everyone thought, this is so nice. But Lord Chaitanya would not hear anything unless it was first screened by Swarup Damodar Goswami. Because Lord Chaitanya did not like to hear anything that was rasabhas, or the untasteful mixing or overlapping of transcendental mellows. So what happened is, this Brahmin, he and Bhagavan Acharya approached Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami and asked him, "Please, please hear this nice drama." And Swarup Damodar Goswami said that you should know that the writing of transcendental poetry is meant for very, very advanced, surrendered devotees. That it's very easy to make mistakes. So he wouldn't listen to the drama. Every day for 2-3 days, Bhagavan Acharya and the Bengali poet were requesting Swarup Damodar Goswami, saying how nice this verse is. So Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "All right, you recite." The Supreme Personality of Godhead has assumed a golden complexion and has become the soul of the body named Lord Jagannath, whose blooming lotus eyes are widely expanded. Thus he has appeared in Jagannath Puri and brought dull matter to life. May that Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Dev, bestow all good fortune upon you. When everyone present heard this verse, they praised the poet. "Very good, very good." Swarup Damodar Goswami, very grave, he said, "Please explain this verse." He tried to explain. After hearing the explanation, Swarup Damodar Goswami became very angry. He said, "You are a fool." The devotees were very shocked. "You are condemned for the offense you have committed in what you have written. Your destination is a hellish existence. You have compared Lord Jagannath to dull wood. You have compared Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to an ordinary living being. Therefore, you have offended Lord Jagannath. You have offended Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hellish suffering is awaiting you, you condemned fool." After Swarup Damodar Goswami spoke, all the devotees agreed. They said, "Yes, what Swarup Damodar Goswami is saying is correct." The devotee, the poet, he was brokenhearted, he was ashamed, he was devastated and full of fear. Swarup Damodar Goswami, by nature, had a very kind and loving heart. He explained to the poet that unless one surrenders his life in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is not fit to write such poetry. To understand the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to receive the causeless mercy of the Lord. You should fall at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and take shelter of him. You must take shelter of the association of devotees. If you associate with devotees and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their association, then gradually you will become purified. When this Bengali poet heard the chastisement and the instructions of Swarup Damodar Goswami, he became very humble. He fell at Swarup Damodar Goswami's lotus feet and begged him for mercy, prayed for his forgiveness. And he took as his life and soul his instructions to always stay in the association of devotees, to hear and chant with them and serve the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The devotees introduced this Bengali poet to Lord Chaitanya, who was very pleased to see his humble position. In fact, that particular personality decided to stay for the rest of his life in Jagannath Puri and became one of the very, very close, intimate associates of the Vaishnavas and surrendered his life to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The harsh words of a great Vaishnav, although they may taste like poison at the beginning, if we are willing to accept them with a gracious heart and follow the directions that are given, we will taste sweet nectar in the end. In fact, Swarup Damodar Goswami was so merciful that after chastising this man and getting him to surrender to the right path of true devotional service, he explained how actually your verses, Goddess Saraswati was speaking through you. And he interpreted it in a different way to show how he was praising Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya. Lord Jagannath is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is sitting in his beautiful temple in Jagannath Puri. And anyone who comes to see him and worship him with a faithful and honest heart will achieve liberation from material suffering and a pure love of God. However, not everyone comes to Jagannath Puri. And some people, even if they come, they're not even allowed in the temple to see Lord Jagannath for various social reasons. Therefore, that same supreme, all-merciful Lord Jagannath Dev has appeared in his self-same personality as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the golden avatar, who has traveled far and wide. Personally, Lord Chaitanya, along with his devotees, they travel all around the world, giving everyone the opportunity to be liberated from all material sufferings and achieve pure love of God through the loud congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that the transcendental pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like a vast, unlimited ocean of nectar. And even one particle of one drop from that ocean can inundate the entire universe with ecstatic love of Krishna. Let us dive deeply into that ocean
through the Sankirtan of the Holy
Name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Radha Gopinath ki. Thank you very much. Yesham prasara matrena paramo khyamaro bhavet. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simply by the causeless mercy of the devotees engaged in licking honey from his lotus feet, even a fallen soul becomes eternally liberated. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya
Gaura
Bhakta Brinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami.
He is glorifying the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those fortunate and worshipable Vaishnavas who always drink the nectar of the mercy of the Lord, they have the power to deliver all fallen souls from the miserable conditions of this material world. This material world is a place where Maya, the illusory energy, is constantly trying to divert our attention away from our real purpose in life. The purpose of life is to experience eternal happiness in the spiritual world. That eternal happiness is only possible in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead with pure unalloyed love. There is no other means. Anything other than pure unalloyed devotional service to Krishna is a source of bondage. Maya is presenting at all times, in all places, so many alternatives to find relief from suffering. On gross or subtle levels, Maya is trying to capture our minds. Therefore, one must have the shelter of a higher power to resist the all-powerful temptations of this illusory energy. Thus, the Supreme Lord in this age of Kali has descended as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the purpose of giving all living entities this shelter. By simply adhering with great faith and attention to his instructions, we can gradually be delivered from the source of all misery. Materialistic people are essentially in a condition of ignorance. Even their so-called love is not real love at all. Why? Because it is based on ignorance. People are trying to give us happiness, security, relief from pain by making arrangements, and those arrangements themselves are the very cause of our bondage and misery. Anything that takes us away from pure unalloyed devotion to Krishna is only furthering our bondage. Thus, real love is when someone tries to bring us closer to the Supreme Lord. People are very eager for security in this world. How much people work and strive for some security because they're afraid what will happen in the future if I do not have a proper education, if I do not have a proper house, if I do not own some property and have wealth in the bank, proper insurance policies, and so on. How much security will that give us? Padam padam yadvipadam natesham. At any moment, death will come. It is not that at every moment death may come. It will come at any moment. And what security do you have at the time of death? What can you hold on to after you leave this body? No matter what arrangements you make, even before death may come, some crisis may come to cripple you, to cripple your family. And there are unlimited varieties of crises that could come at any moment that are way beyond the power of your money, your influence, your education, your insurance policies to protect you from. To think that we are secure because we have these things is an illusion. The only real security is to understand that we are eternal. We are transcendental to this body and mind. We are part and parcel of Krishna. And that realization can only come about through service to the Lord. So why should we be fooled by the forces of Maya trying to divert our attention away from the service of the Lord? No doubt, to maintain body and soul, we have to have some security. We have to perhaps keep a job and a home and maybe a bank balance and maybe even insurance. These things are not in and of themselves bad. However, when we are taking these forms of security too seriously, then we are an illusion. We may use them because in this temporary sojourn of material life, we may require some help. But our shelter is in the feet of Krishna, not in this. If these things take us away from taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, it is better to throw it all in the ocean. If we can keep them and use them to help us to serve Krishna without letting them deviate us from seeking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, then they have great value. People have so many mental anxieties in this world. And practically every time they try to relieve their mental anxieties, they may get some temporary relief. However, all of their material arrangements, if they're taking them away from complete dependence on Krishna, they're actually arranging deeper bondage for deeper miseries. It's like you want to pay a 500 rupee debt, so you borrow 500 rupees, but you have to pay 1 crore interest. Hare Krishna. Does that make sense? That's what everyone's doing. Temporarily, you're going to get relief from that 500 rupee debt. They may not bother you for a few weeks, but then, they will come for the crore. And then to get relief from that crore, you take another loan with 5 million crores interest. This is material existence. We are trying to make some arrangement for some peace of mind. We go to some psychiatrist or some psychologist. They may give us temporary, but it is not the solution. There is only one solution. Utter dependence at the feet of Krishna. And if anything diverts us from our sadhana, anything diverts us from a humble, sincere glorification and service to Vaishnavas, anything diverts us from coming to serve the Lord and see His beautiful form and living by the principles of Krishna consciousness, it is only further incriminating us in the sources of suffering. Thus, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is here in explaining that the real shelter for all living beings is the devotees of the Lord. Because on behalf of the Lord, they are coming to invite us all to seek shelter at His lotus feet. And that shelter can be easily achieved in this age of Kali Yuga by sincerely associating with Vaishnavas in a humble mood of service and loudly filling the atmosphere with the holy names of Sankirtan. One such exalted associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami exemplified the highest character of true renunciation. Before beginning this narration, please know that in whatever ashram we are in, brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, or sannyasis, there is much to learn through this story. However, we should know two things will happen. You will fall down from spiritual life, and then you will die. However, we should all aspire, according to the particular social arrangement that we are following, to follow in his footsteps, to capture the spirit of his vairagya and devotion. Raghunath Das Goswami was born in a family of multi-millionaires. His uncle's name was Hiranya Majumdar, his father Govardhan Majumdar. They had so much land, so many beautiful buildings, and a whole treasure house full of wealth. Of the two brothers, there was only one son, Raghunath Das. He was the heir to the entire fortune. He was brought up in great luxury. His whole future was guaranteed materially. When he was a little boy, his family guru, Yadu Nandan Acharya and Balaram Acharya, they would sometimes take Raghunath to associate with Haridas Thakur. When Raghunath Das saw the simplicity of Haridas Thakur's life, usually he just lived in a cave. Sometimes he would share it with a snake. But he didn't mind, because he was always experiencing the great wealth of transcendental love of God. 300,000 names of Krishna he would chant before even taking food or water. Raghunath Das Goswami, seeing Haridas Thakur with nothing but a torn kopan, living in a cave, no family, nothing, Raghunath Das was thinking, this is real wealth. This is what I want. The wealth of Krishna Prem. And the means to achieve that wealth, Haridas Thakur gave us such a sublime process. Just raise your arms and chant Hare Krishna. To his parents' great dismay, from his childhood, he simply showed no interest in material affairs. So they got him married to a beautiful, beautiful young lady. And they started giving so many important responsibilities to him, and literally would just offer him anything he possibly could want. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he came to Shantipur. At that time, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami met with Lord Chaitanya. He was a very young man. He expressed to Lord Chaitanya how much he wanted to surrender his whole life to take to the renounced order of life and serve Sri Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya gave him instructions. You should not follow the process of Markata Vairagya, artificial renunciation, like a monkey, but rather, you should go home and practice your duties very nicely. And when Krishna is merciful to you, then all your desires will be fulfilled. So Raghunath Das Goswami went home, and he behaved exactly like a pounds, shillings, and pence man. He performed his work so nicely. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita gives an example. One time, his father and uncle, they were exacting taxes from the citizens, and they were supposed to send, they were collecting 20 lakhs. They were supposed to send 15 to the king, but instead they only sent 12 lakhs to the king. That means there was 3 lakhs that was unaccounted for. There was one Turkish chaudhari who was very envious of them. And he decided that they must be punished. So he came with some police to the house of Hiranya Majumdar. But the two brothers had gone away. They were hiding. So this Muslim chaudhari, he arrested Raghunath Das. And he so much wanted to punish his family that every day he would take a stick and threaten to beat Raghunath Das. He would insult him with so many harsh, vicious, threatening words. But every time he would look at Raghunath Das's face, it was so full of love, peace, and compassion that he couldn't hit him. Raghunath Das was thinking in his mind, what to do? This is not a suitable place for serving Krishna. So he came up with a plan. One day he said to this man, actually, my uncle and father are just like your brothers. It is natural for brothers to have disagreements and fight, but then again, they forget all of these things and they come together. You should not take this argument so seriously. In fact, you are like my own father. I am your son. He spoke with such sincerity that this Turkish chaudhari, tears began to glide through his beard. His heart was completely melted. And he came to Raghunath Das and said, yes, you are my very own son. It is true. I will soon arrange for you to be free from this prison house. Tell your uncles that I would like to have a meeting with them to discuss this. Ultimately, whatever they decide, I will accept. But they're making so much money, they should give me a share of the money also. Raghunath Das was very, very expert. One year passed. Raghunath Das began to think of ways to escape from his home. So one night, very late, he left. But his father and uncle sent guards to catch him and drag him back. This became a daily affair. Every day Raghunath would escape, he would be caught and brought back. One day his mother spoke to the father that our Raghunath Das, I think he has become mad. Perhaps we should tie him with ropes to keep him home. Govardhan replied, "We have already given him the wealth and opulence of Indra, the king of heaven. He has a wife who is more beautiful than an angel. If these things are not binding him to home, I'm afraid that ropes will not be very effective." He has become the recipient of the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who could possibly keep such a madman of Lord Chaitanya home? News came that Lord Nityananda Prabhu was with his associates in Panihati Gram. Lord Chaitanya, or Raghunath Das, at that time, he was being watched by about 12 watchmen, guards, and Brahmins under constant vigilance. He received permission to go to see Lord Nityananda along with some of his servants. There, Nityananda Prabhu was sitting under a banyan tree on the bank of the holy river Ganga with many of his most intimate associates, such as Ram Das, but also known as Abhiram Thakur, and Gadadhar Das was there, Uttaran Thakur, Sundarananda, Murari Chaitanya, so many exalted devotees. Raghunath Das offered his obeisances from a distant place because he considered himself so fallen and contaminated. It was brought to Lord Nityananda Prabhu's attention that Raghunath Das is offering obeisances over there. Nityananda Prabhu called Raghunath Das. "Why you are keeping a distance from me? That is the behavior of a thief. Come here." Then Nityananda Prabhu personally went and captured Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das fell at his lotus feet. Nityananda Prabhu said, "You have behaved like a thief, keeping a distance. Therefore, you must be punished. The punishment will be, I want you to arrange for a wonderful feast of chipped rice and yogurt, chida dahi, for all of my associates." Raghunath Das was very blissful. He had his servants go and buy huge quantities of chipped rice and hundreds of big clay pots. First, they took all the chipped rice and they soaked it in milk. After soaking it, they divided the large quantity of chipped rice in half. Half they soaked in yogurt, sugar, and bananas. The other half they soaked in condensed milk, ghee, sugar, and a special variety of bananas with camphor. They offered everyone two pots of sweet chipped rice, one soaked in the condensed milk and one soaked in yogurt. Pretty soon, so many people started coming. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people were coming. All the devotees, all the villagers, and each had two pots soaking their chipped rice. The shopkeepers, they came with so many sweetmeats and fruits and other preparations, And Raghunath Das bought everything every shopkeeper had to distribute it to the devotees. And then he sat down the shopkeepers that he bought it from and fed them with what he bought. Raghava Pandit came. He said to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, I invited you to my home for prasad. It's already prepared. But now I see you are having feast here. Nityananda Prabhu said, I am a cowherd boy, and it is my pastime to eat prasad on the bank of the holy river. I will come to your home tonight. As Lord Nityananda Prabhu was watching the fun, so many people came. The whole raised platform was filled. Then people sat on the bank of the Ganges. When there was not even room in the bank of the Ganges, people were standing in the Ganges with their two clay pots with chipped rice. Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu, in meditation, called for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to honor this wonderful feast. Lord Chaitanya at that time was residing in Jagannath Puri. But by his avirbhave power, he appeared to sit beside Lord Nityananda Prabhu. But no one saw him except Lord Nityananda and a few other fortunate souls. Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started walking through the aisles of devotees, and they took one portion of chipped rice from each of the pots. Lord Nityananda put it in Lord Chaitanya's mouth, and Lord Chaitanya put it in Lord Nityananda's mouth. Then they came back, and they themselves began to honor this prasad, and they induced everyone to eat the prasad while chanting very loudly Krishna's holy name. After this wonderful feast, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu washed themselves, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu personally offered garlands. As many garlands as there were, he would offer them to the devotees with his own loving hands as an expression of his love. Then, whatever remnants were left from Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu's plate, Lord Nityananda gave them to Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das first fed the other assistants and servers, and then he took the prasad himself. That night, Nityananda Prabhu and the Vaishnavas assembled in Raghava Pandit's house. Nityananda Prabhu induced everyone to begin the congregational chanting of the holy names. The devotees started chanting and dancing. As they were chanting and dancing, the kirtan was becoming more and more sweet with the ecstasy of love of God. Then Sri Nityananda Prabhu personally, in the center of the assembly of all the devotees, began to dance. Who could possibly even attempt to describe the sweetness of the elegant beauty of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's graceful dancing? His dancing was identical to that of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was the very essence of all beauty, charming the hearts of all of the world. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu danced, it was an expression of such deep love of God that any time he would dance, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever he was, would appear in that place to watch. Sure enough, Lord Chaitanya came to the house of Raghava Pandit in his divine form to behold the beauty of Nityananda Prabhu's dance of divine love. After the kirtan went on for many hours, Raghava Pandit brought the Mahaprasad. The prasad prepared in the house of Raghava Pandit was extraordinary. It is said that Srimati Radharani resided within the kitchen of Raghava Pandit's house. Whenever he and his sister Damayanti cooked, Sri Radharani would personally appear from within their hearts and cook through them. And we know from history that Sri Radharani received a benediction from Durvas Muni that anything she cooked would be sweeter than nectar, and anyone who ate what she cooked would be completely satisfied and never get sick. Radharani does not need Durvas Muni's benediction. Her love is the infinite reservoir of all love. Whatever little love may be the capacity of our eternal souls is only a tiny little reflective spark of the supreme source of all love, which is the heart of Srimati Radharani. Who can understand the luxurious preparations in the house of Raghava Pandit? We will discuss this a little later this morning. But for now, we should understand that Nityananda Prabhu took wonderful prasad along with Lord Chaitanya, and the remnants again were given to Raghunath Das Goswami. The next morning, Nityananda Prabhu was sitting under that same sacred banyan tree. Raghunath Das Goswami fell at his lotus feet and begged him,